Welcome to Off Air with the Q Crew. Hey guys!
Episode 9.
So good to be back. We back, baby.
We are back, and we're still riding high off of this Beyonce Homecoming Netflix tribute.
Man.
We're going to talk about
something special, right?
We're also going to talk about Kim Kardashian wants to be an attorney, so I'd love to ask you guys, what would you be if you didn't do radio?
Okay.
Facebook oversharing. It's a thing. We always talk about it off the air, so I want to really get into it. Why we hate when people share too much on Facebook or on the gram. Game of Thrones, is the hype real? We'll get into some hip-hop history. Because some albums, classic albums, turning 25 years old today. We'll get into Easter plans and traditions. So let's go ahead and kick things off with the GOAT. I'm claiming it.
Oh,
I'm saying
aggressive.
It.
Aggressive. The
Beyonce's
GOAT.
Beyonce's Homecoming special, 2 hours and 17 minutes.
Yes.
Of,
you didn't miss
greatness
a minute.
On Netflix. I did not. I
did you
it
watch
twice.
It straight through?
Yeah, credits.
No
anything.
Pauses.
Not, well,
my
no, I, I'm going to lie. I did pause it to make a refill of my drink.
Yeah, you're still a grown.
Because I didn't want to miss it. Then she dropped that surprise album, right?
Yeah.
40 tracks, the whole live Coachella set. And in the documentary, you really got to see what it took Beyonce to create that performance. Because I was shocked when I found out it took over a year of rehearsals, over 4 months of just band training before the dancers even came up. You know, just the concept of the stage. Mm-hmm. She had 3 sound stages to practice. So she had 1 for the band, 1 for the dancers, and 1 for her team. I mean, this was a very thorough, very expensive undertaking. And it was all about her homecoming. Because did you guys know the reason that she called it her homecoming? And I didn't get this at the time till I watched the documentary. Was because she's been in the game for 22 years, right? She had
it's
the
been
twins.
That long already?
Yeah, since Destiny's Child. That's crazy, right?
Because
she's, I think, 37 and she started when she was around 15.
Wow.
So she's been in the game 22 years. She had the twins and took some time off. And then she wanted to do Coachella. Mm-hmm. And she wanted to do Coachella and really pay
homage. Why do you say Coachella?
I don't know. What are you supposed to say? Coachella?
Coachella.
I don't know. Do I say it wrong? Coachella?
Yeah.
Coachella? Okay. Coachella. Whatever it is.
Straight
okay?
up, yeah.
Yeah, my
You're
bad.
Wrong.
Coachella.
Yeah, sorry.
Coachella.
Coachella. So she wanted to perform there, right? After 22 years of being in the game, and she considered it a homecoming because she was able to perform for the first time after having the twins. She had a tough pregnancy. She gained a lot of weight.
Yeah.
It was a lot of sacrifice, losing the weight and getting back into form and stuff like that. And she really wanted to play homage to the HBCU colleges, mm-hmm. right? So that's mm-hmm. why she incorporated the dancers and the stepping
right.
and the bands. And she says she grew up watching Battle of the Bands, and that mm-hmm. gave her such a good feeling that she really wanted to bring the culture to Coachella.
Sure
you know, rather than her flower crown, she was bringing culture.
Yeah.
So did you guys watch it? What did you think? As you can see, I'm a stan.
You're like losing your breath. You are freaking going 100 miles per hour. Yes, it was. Yes, Natalia, I feel you. You were so into it.
Yeah.
I went in as a fan.
Yeah.
Not as much of a stan as you, right? Like,
yeah.
you know, but obviously Beyonce's fans are, you know, and you know, intense.
We're crazy. Yeah.
I went in like, yo, you know, it's part of the culture. I got to check it out, see what it's about. And once I started watching, I was like, wow, this is insane. Just the attention to detail that she mm-hmm. put into everything. And then, at first, I had to figure out, you know, remember watching when they were changing colors? I'm like, wait a minute now.
Yeah,
how could you,
yeah,
how
yeah,
did
yeah,
this,
yeah.
how could you be in yellow, then pink, and then, but that's just camera work. But then I forgot that it was 2 weekends.
Yes.
2 separate weekends of her, you know, doing the same performance. But, man, I watched it 1.5 times. Mm-hmm. I watched it by myself and my daughter, and then I watched it again, a little bit of it again with my wife, and just thoroughly impressed. Like, what she did, it was, like, I feel like she's in her own lane,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I'm watching, I'm like, wait a minute, can you imagine? This is at a music festival. No one's ever brought this type of production to a music festival. We've been to, like, Life is Beautiful and stuff.
Yeah,
and,
yeah, yeah.
And, you know, I've seen, I got to see, like, Chance the Rapper. I even saw Kanye at mm-hmm. Life. Saw Stevie Wonder. They're putting on great performances. But the production that Beyonce was brought to Coachella was unheard of.
Yeah.
It brought a whole nother mystique to the game. Like, what is going on here? And you know, there had to have been like those Coachella fans, people who just went to Coachella to see, I don't know, Blink 182 or,
right.
or yeah. you know, just
Lion Babe or
Rage Against the Machine. Yeah. I don't know.
Whoever
and who were there who were like, oh my God, had to become Beyonce fans
after
that,
okay.
right?
Yeah.
Because of that performance. You know what I'm saying? It had to.
Even if you don't like her music, and even if you don't care for Destiny's Child, you have to respect the work.
Yeah,
like,
but if you were there and you didn't, if you weren't, I'm really a Beyonce fan, you had to become a fan after that.
Mm-hmm.
It was just, if you're a fan of anything musical, It was that good.
Is all that just her, or do you think a lot of Jay-Z has rubbed off on her? Like, being able to execute such big productions. Has she always been that way?
I don't think.
Destiny's Child?
Well, yeah, but I mean, you got to remember, her dad was like her manager, and her dad wanted everything to be perfect. I've been a Beyonce fan since Destiny's Child, right? And remember, her mom used to make their uniforms. Her mom used to sew all their stuff. So they've always been very attention to detail oriented. I just think she has the budget now to do it on such a big scale.
Yeah, if there's anything that's going to influence, Jay's going to influence Beyonce with, I think it would probably be on the
40 tracks?
No, on the that. I think on the business side.
Okay.
Right. Performance side, Beyonce could probably help influence a Jay-Z on like a production element. But, you know.
But a rapper's not going to, I don't think, execute so much.
No, like, not at all.
Because what she did was insane.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Like Jay-Z, that's not his lane. Yeah. But you know what I mean? But I was thoroughly, thoroughly impressed. I thought it was so cool what she was doing. And, you know, first black woman to headline Coachella like that. Mm-hmm. I'm watching with my little daughter. And for the first time, instead of my daughter talking about Elsa and Anna, she started talking about Ayonce. She was called Ayonce. And she's like, I'm beautiful like Ayonce. I'm like, oh, this is so dope. So now my little daughter has someone she can look up to. And I didn't even say anything.
Right. Yeah,
she's
like,
Daddy, who are you watching? I said, that's Beyonce. And so my daughter got stuck watching it with me. And she's moving her hips, trying to dance like
that. Mm-hmm.
She's beautiful. I'm like, yeah, she's beautiful just like you.
Yeah.
So now like my daughter, for the first time, became a fan. I'm like, this is someone who looks just like her instead of Rapunzel and Anna and Elsa, you know. So I thought that was awesome and just a great role model.
But is she the GOAT?
Is she the greatest of all time?
Like Natalie says?
You think she's the greatest of all time?
I do. Because I think that what she's doing, I think what she's doing for the culture, I think what she's doing with her music, with her body of work, it speaks volumes. Like Beyonce is not caught up in the club and on like TMZ or the Shade Room and that stuff. Beyonce minds her own business and puts out these massive, amazing projects. And like you said, the attention to detail, the fact that she took her Coachella set, which was already a big deal, and then created a documentary for Netflix and also a live album. And if you notice on the special, she was saying that like they needed to record the feet stomping and they needed to record all the clapping and all the whoos and the ha's. And I didn't realize when I'm watching, it was for the album. That's why it was so important to get all of those, you know, little details. So I think that the fact that she can turn one thing into so many things is amazing. And really,
I agree, but I don't think that makes her the GOAT. I think you're forgetting one man. He goes by the name of Michael Jackson, the King of Pop. At the time when Michael Jackson was dominating the world, there was only there was popular music.
Right.
He dominated popular music. He would make people faint on sight. Michael Jackson was dominating. He's in the Guinness Book of World Records for the most successful entertainer of all time. He had over 500 million people watch his video live. Michael Jackson, he's one of Beyonce's biggest influences.
100%.
I think she says MJ and Tina Turner.
Mm-hmm.
I think Beyonce is killing the game. I don't think she has surpassed Michael Jackson. I think Michael Jackson, what he did during his time in the 80s and the early 90s, he was taking the stage with way less production, entertaining just as much, and I think a lot more. I think there was people in the smallest, dirtiest, most unknown countries who loved Michael Jackson, who he affected. And this is before the age of social media, people.
But I think
this is before the age of social media.
I think you
kind of
hit it a little bit that you said, like, not only is he a great performer like Beyonce, you know, but he was probably the best entertainer in general.
That's same thing. Word entertainer and performer is hand in hand. But
we've kind of mentioned this before because as far as entertainment, you know, we've talked about the J-Lo show.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about Pitbull's show.
Yeah.
Entertainment-wise, their production is huge. Their show is awesome.
So
they're
not
GOATs. I don't think they're GOATs.
I think the way you got to look at it, CO1, is their actual execution themselves performing it. I think J-Lo, she's entertaining, but I think she has a lot of production behind her. Mm-hmm. And her performing is good as well.
Her singing is nowhere close. And I love J-Lo, but singing is not even close to
Beyonce. So as a performer, and when you compare J-Lo to Beyonce, I don't think it's close.
Yeah.
I think her entertainment might be close to Beyonce's. If that makes, does that make sense to you?
Yeah, but here's the thing. I think like Michael Jackson was great in that era because, mm-hmm. like you mentioned, there was no social media. Yeah. But imagine if Beyonce had been out in that era, she might give MJ a run for his money.
Maybe. I think that if Michael Jackson was around now, because Michael Jackson was, I don't think that. I'm sorry. Beyonce is dominating for the culture, mm-hmm. right? Which is hip hop culture. Mm-hmm. Michael Jackson was dominating for pop. That is mainstream, popular music.
Yeah, well,
I'm talking about it was hitting people who weren't in the culture. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. There's people like my in-laws who, not about the culture, right. but they were all, they could be all about Michael Jackson.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like these old white people were like, oh, yeah. that man, that Michael Jackson's a bad man. Wow.
Yeah.
Did you see him just lean forward like this?
Yeah, I mean, he was
and blow. You know what I mean? Yeah. And so, it, not to take anything away from Beyonce, yet I think that Mike is still the GOAT. I think that Beyonce still has time to surpass him because I think there's, it was like James Brown was probably like the man.
Yeah,
right.
Before MJ,
mm-hmm.
and you know, cause, you know, we went around for that era, yeah. but we seen you know how he sure. killed the stage.
Yeah,
MJ surpassed him. I think there's going to be a time where Beyonce will probably surpass him, especially with this performance.
Well,
when everybody gets a chance to see this Netflix performance,
mm-hmm. yeah.
it's going to be pretty well known. Like, because no one's in her lane right now.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
No.
No.
Nobody.
I would say she's the greatest performer right now, like in the world Beyonce.
I would have to agree. Like, it's insane. Like, she is in her own damn lane. I think that I was thinking about this when we're prepping mm-hmm. for it. Mm-hmm. You know who's really close, mm-hmm. and it's weird because he's such a musician, entertainer, and performer? Prince.
Yeah.
In my opinion. Yeah. I think he's just such a good artist that it you know elevates him you know a little bit because, I mean, he might not be dancing around, but,
no, but
the fact that he was playing like 31 instruments.
Well, that's the thing. He's a true singer, musician.
You know? But he also put on a great show.
Yeah, but
I got to see him. When it, was that the 31-21 show?
Yeah.
When he came to the
Rio. Unfortunately, I got to see one of his last performances. It might have been his last performance.
Fortunately,
in Vegas.
You did.
Unfortunately, I did. Not fortunately.
Oh, it was bad.
Unfortunately.
It was bad.
Because I saw him at the joint at the Hard Rock. Mm-hmm. And I think it was still, there were some legal battles going on between what he was able to perform and what not, with, you know, like
right.
with the record labels or whatever. Mm-hmm. So he had this female group with him of, like, they were guitarists and stuff. And they were jamming. And it, don't get me wrong, like, the performance and the show itself was very talented and it was mm-hmm. very good. Mm-hmm. But he just did a medley of Prince songs. Because he could only do, you know, an X amount of time of them. So his second half of the show was maybe 15 minutes long of a medley of all the hits, you know, the print, mm-hmm. like Kiss and all this stuff. But most of the show was him and two girls just jamming out. And it was one of the most horrendous things I've ever seen in my life.
Oh,
it's like when I seen Lauryn Hill and all her songs were rearranged because she can't perform the original versions.
Right.
And you were like, ooh.
But vocally?
Like, rearranged musically. So, like, they had, like, weird jazz arrangements for, like, she'd do doo-wop that thing with, like, a weird jazz arrangement
right.
or whatever. Yeah. Okay, but let me tell you why I think Beyonce is the GOAT.
Okay,
right?
Okay. Go ahead. Final statements.
Yeah. I think she's the GOAT because what she has done for women and women empowerment, mm-hmm. what she has done for the culture and bringing the culture mainstream, those are things that Michael Jackson did not do. Michael Jackson, you said it, he was pop culture. He was mainstream. Mm-hmm. Beyonce brought hip-hop to the mainstream stage. Think about Formation at the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. People were pissed at Beyonce mm-hmm. for bringing Formation to the Super Bowl. But Beyonce brings a call to action for people to really recognize. Beyonce works for social justice. Think about her Lemonade special and think mm-hmm. about how she brought attention to Katrina and the floods and police brutality. Think about what Beyonce and Jay-Z are doing for the culture, are doing for criminal justice reform. Like, they are voices of our generation, not only playing it safe and doing it for the mainstream, they're also moving people forward on a social in a social way. And as a woman, I see Beyonce and I feel so inspired. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to say I didn't feel inspired with MJ when I was a kid, because I definitely did. Like, I loved Michael Jackson growing up. But what Beyonce has done for women, I don't think another artist has done that for women.
I don't think
another artist has done that for the culture. Like, bringing the culture to Coachella.
I 100% agree.
Yeah.
With everything you said, I don't necessarily think that has to do with you being the greatest performer or entertainer of all time.
Well, of course, because it's part of it, right? It's part. It's all of it.
I think it's not really.
I think it's what you're doing on the stage. To be honest, that's okay. If we will go that route, there's a lot of stuff in Michael Jackson's personal life that would make him just go down.
Well, that's another part of it, right?
I can't
look at him the same way, things he might have done or not done.
Okay, yeah, I see that.
Controversy. That gets him off the list.
Okay, because if you're asking the greatest performer, I'm thinking about what he's performing on the stage, not what he's necessarily doing in his personal life.
I'm looking at big picture. What they do in their
That's a different question than performer.
Yeah, that's a
because
person.
Because performer is an action on the stage.
Entertainment.
Yeah.
A lot of
is she a better activist? Yes.
Yeah.
But I'm talking about when the emotions they make you feel when they're doing their thing on the stage. Right. I feel like, my opinion, Michael got a much wider audience. But if you want to go there, Michael Jackson is one of the only people who could start as a black person, then turn into a white man, and then he eventually turned into an Italian woman in the late 2000s.
Well, that's Can anyone else do this?
Can anyone else change races? He started as a black man and then a light-skinned man. In 2010, he became an Italian woman. Who can do that? Okay, that's enough.
All right.
It's the debate can continue. You can't go wrong either way. Beyonce is phenomenal. No one is in her lane right now.
Yeah.
I'm not going to take away from anything Natalia said. I was so impressed, and I think it's dope that she is just an awesome role model in it. Now that I have a daughter, this is amazing to me. It's just cool.
Think about that, though, right? We'll leave it with that. Mm-hmm. That's a role model for your daughter.
Yes.
I don't know that I could say Michael Jackson would be a role model for my kids because of the controversy, which you don't know if it's true or not true.
100%.
But, like, Beyonce ain't been wrapped up in anything.
Yes. But I don't think that has anything to do with entertainment.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I guess it depends on what you consider great. Yes. Like, what do you think great is
I can agree with you with that, but what you just said was, hey, we can say that Beyonce can be a role model. MJ can't. So that's a different conversation.
I will say, I did look this up. Beyonce has only sold, and I say only loosely, only sold 17.2 million albums. Michael Jackson has sold 81 million.
Jesus.
So, four times.
Yeah. And if you look at all the concerts and all the stuff, MJ's way up there. Okay. But for our generation, Beyonce, killing the game.
Speaking of great.
Great.
Who would want Kim Kardashian to represent them in court? What do you guys think about her becoming a lawyer? Did you hear this? She's actually studying.
Yes, of course. Yeah.
So apparently in California, there's like this loophole that you don't have to go to law school if you agree to mentor with an attorney for 4 years.
Right.
Right?
Is that what she's going with Shapiro?
Yeah, she's mentoring with a law firm for 4 years. Then after those 4 years, you have to take like the baby bar. Then you take the real bar after the 4 years and you can become an attorney without going to law school. Now, her father was an attorney. She's been studying and posting about it. She's very involved in criminal justice reform right now. Mm-hmm. What do you guys think about her new career?
Let me ask you this. Does that loophole have anything to do with cash?
No, it's just different states. There's like 3 states in the country that allow you to become an attorney without going to law school. And California happens to be one of them.
Because I was just wondering if like any type of money and privilege.
I mean, I'm sure her connections make it easier for her to find a mentorship. Like if me and you were like, oh, I'm going to be a lawyer, we'd be hard pressed to find a law firm
she's
to
already
let us mentor.
With Robert Shapiro, that was like her dad told me with the OJ case. You want to go ahead?
I'll just say it straight up. I think it's whack.
Oh.
Someone who has, somebody who has such a bad rep on TV in general, who's dealing with so much stuff. You're not going to have the full spectrum of all the knowledge necessary, in my opinion, to represent someone just because they're shadowing someone. I feel that when you're shadowing someone, you're shadowing what is happening at that time, mm-hmm. not necessarily the entire knowledge of being an attorney. Mm-hmm. So if I'm shadowing Bojo to be the next lights, whatever, or I want to be an MC, all I'm going to know is what you do at a lights game.
Right.
I'm not going to know how to MC somewhere else. And I know that's maybe not the best example, but like she's just going to be, it's not like they're going to sit there and say, hey, this is chapter one, read through this and read through that. She's just going to learn specific things.
No, but
not
that
the
is
overall.
What she's doing. She's doing different things. Like she just had to write this big paper on some law, like, cause I follow her on Instagram. So she like has been posting all of her stuff. She's got to do, I think it was 18 hours a week. She has to be dedicated to learning law. But and I will agree to disagree with you, CO1, because I think that learning how to be an MC at school and learning how to become an MC by shadowing Bojo, you'll learn how to be an MC by shadowing Bojo before you learn it at school.
No, I didn't say you're not going to become the MC. I'm saying you're going to be so specific to what he's going to show you, not the full spectrum of everything.
Yeah.
So that's why it's like, okay, if I'm going to go shadow one of my cop friends for 3 days, you know, he all he does is get to pull over cars because of traffic stops. How am I going to know how to go deal with a someone who robbed somebody or someone who broke into somewhere?
Okay, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Let me ask this.
I just don't think she'll be 360 into the whole.
Would you be more comfortable if she was getting her law degree like the old-fashioned way? Or you think her doing it is whack, period?
No, the way she's doing it, her getting it, she can go out and become whoever she wants, by all means. If she went to school and did it the way everybody else did it, that's fine. But I just don't think a mentorship, is going to provide the full knowledge, unless it was very specific
to
something.
Okay, so here's the deal, So in order to think that way, I disagree, because we got to look into what lawyers have took that route and maybe see if what the route they took and how they're doing now. Mm-hmm. Because if they're doing okay,
obviously
just like
not
anybody,
many lawyers have taken that route. Otherwise, it'd be a bigger thing. The only thing, the only reason why it's a big thing right now is because someone like a Kim Kardashian is
talking
about it.
Wait a second. We don't know that.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. We don't know that.
No, we don't know.
We don't know. What I'm saying
is... Let me Google it. You guys talk.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what I'm saying. I think if we find out that, like, you know, a percentage of the people who take
Kim
this...
Kim Kardashian, someone who's popular, someone who's front-faced to the media, someone who is married to one of the biggest artists in the world. So people are going to make a big fuss about it.
No, no, no. Okay, but here's the deal. I don't think what she's doing is, like, negative. I think what she's doing is a positive thing. She is a huge role model, and she's trying to do something.
She's a role model.
Well, yeah, for a lot of
kids, love her. Little girls love her. And then now she wants to be a lawyer.
She might be an influencer, but I don't know that she's a...
Whether she's our role model or not, she's a role model.
There's
kids
who look up to Cardi B, which is weird.
Yeah.
You know, because we're not around to be, we're not able to be around our kids all the time. Right. I'm sorry, Cardi B is the biggest star in the world right now. And little girls love Cardi B.
Yeah.
And so whether she likes it or not, she's a role model.
Right.
Because little girls want to be her. Is that who I want my kids to be, my daughter to be role model or model after?
Yeah.
No. But same thing with Kim Kardashian. It's the truth.
Yeah.
Kim Kardashian on
the
planet.
World, yeah.
You know what I mean?
To take that sex tape, though, and turn it around, create this multi-million dollar empire, and still go to school, become an attorney, and fight criminal justice reform, she could be sitting back and just... counting her money and not giving a crap about the world. And I think that that's good. That's showing people that no matter where you start and no matter what adversity you face, you can still flip it and follow your dreams.
If it was considered cheating, the route she's taking or something,
like the
college scandal, stuff,
then
I understand.
Yeah.
I just found out about this loophole today. I didn't know about that.
Yeah.
I thought she was studying to take the bar exam and all that. I didn't know about the loophole.
Yeah.
So... but if this loophole is something others have been doing, I don't know, you know.
It's been working for other people. So let me ask you guys this. Yeah, other people have done it. Like, but they say that the bar in California is much harder to pass than the bar throughout the country. So the like, literal bar is raised a lot higher in California to become an attorney. Because it's not just the mentoring. She's got to pass that test, too.
Yeah.
But forget Kim. What would you guys do if you weren't a DJ and if you weren't on the radio and living your best life as an MC and all that good stuff?
Oh, that's easy.
What would you guys do instead?
I'd be a police officer. I mean, I was, and I did law enforcement work, and I actually left there because I got so sucked into music.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's easy. I mean, I'd be in law enforcement.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought about this question. I'm like, I thought about maybe I'd be a judge.
Okay.
Because I think I like to be fair, and I think I'm pretty fair. And I mean,
so you'd have to be a lawyer first.
Yeah, you have to be an attorney.
Sure,
yeah.
Sure, but if I can surpass all that
stuff.
You know what I mean? I would like to be a judge, but if it was realistic on who I am as a person, I would like to be Arsenio Hall. I'll have my own late night talk show.
I'm surprised you didn't say a soccer player.
That's always the answer for me, be a pro soccer player. That was always the dream as a kid, be a pro soccer player.
Yeah.
But I always say that, so I'm like, I like to be a judge, just, make fair judgments
yeah.
and stuff, right? Or, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, I think if I wasn't doing radio, what I really wanted to do as a kid was be a news reporter. Like, be on the news and be doing news yeah. stories. But when I got at the age of, like, college and figuring out what I wanted mm-hmm. to do with my life, I wasn't that interested in, like, current events. I was much more interested in music. So mm-hmm. that's how I ended up in radio, because I loved music so much. But I think going back, I probably would have became a reporter. Whether it was a writer or whatever.
Let me bring it back real quick. Sorry to interrupt mm-hmm. you. But I was just thinking about that because you asked us that question. Do you think that there was a part of Kim Kardashian who's always wanted to be a lawyer growing up?
Yes, that's what she said. She was obsessed with the OJ case, and her dad used yeah, to have a room.
That was her influence. Yeah. Was her dad was her, that.
Yeah, her dad had a room of, like, evidence from the OJ case, and Kim says that she used to sneak into the room and go through all the files, and she was, like, obsessed with his cases. So
that makes sense, but that's weird that this far late, like, this late in the game, like, she could have done this a long time ago.
Well, it's never
ago.
Too late. Maybe she was scared, right? Like, I mean, maybe, you know, because you got to understand, she became this multi-million-dollar entrepreneur. She's got mm-hmm. her kids. She's got her man. She don't really need to be a lawyer. Sometimes, you know, we've all been there. Have you ever been scared to do something? Because it's, like, out of your comfort zone, and then one day you're like, screw it, I'm just going to try?
Yeah, I just feel like I've never been like Kim Kardashian, though. She's had the world in the palm of her hands for doing nothing for years.
But maybe she's not fulfilled, because think about the question that everybody asks her. Kim, what do you do? She's probably so sick of saying she don't know, and now she's going to be like, I'm
yeah,
a lawyer.
I guess so. I just feel like that. You know? It's just weird that it took this long. I guess maybe...
It's never too late. I got a friend that went to law school in her 30s, and she just became a lawyer at, like, 38.
I'm going to have to go see Legally Blonde again.
Yeah. Right.
See how I feel about this.
But, no, I just thought it was it. Because if this is what she wanted to do her whole life...
Yeah. It's not too late. Think about it. Most lawyers are in their 50s.
No,
60s,
of course it's so not like, too late, but she could have anything she wants anytime she wanted. Right. That's all. It's different for us. Yeah. It's hard for us to get anything. Not for Kim K.
I wish I could... Honestly, I've always thought about maybe when I moved to Vegas...
Yeah.
I applied for Metro, and my wife applied for North Las Vegas PD.
It's not too late, bro.
No, it is too late for me. Because there's a...
You said it's never too late. God damn it is.
No, well, it is because there's like... You know, there's physical qualifications, age qualifications, all that stuff.
Yeah, you're too old, bro.
And I've got a bad left knee.
Yeah.
So when we moved here, my wife ended up working for North Las Vegas for like 5.5 years or whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
And even though I did a lot of the, like, I did like the little citizens academies and all. So I was still involved and stuff, but, mm-hmm. But it's still, sometimes I get pulled to like the, oh man. Cause yeah. Mind you, I did all that training. I've gone through academies. That's what my degree is in.
Yeah.
Most of my friends are cops.
Yeah.
You got me thinking.
So,
I'm going to start training today. I'm going to become a soccer player.
Do it!
I mean, it's never too late! It's never too late!
I'm about to be a pro! Lights, here I come!
Oh.
I'm going to pull out Tanya Harding. Tanya Harding, break the goalie's knee so I can come in.
No, just switch roles with the player that you look like.
Freddie Adu.
Yes, just switch. Like, just
Freddie Adu is going to host.
Give him
the
mic.
And you run out with his jersey and run through the thing.
Freddie Adu. Shout out to Freddie Adu. He's no longer playing with the lights. I don't know where that brother is. But if you're watching, what's up, Freddie?
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, so keep it moving.
Let's talk about Facebook and oversharing. So before we got started on the podcast, I opened up Facebook, and it was like something tragic from one of my friends. And I was like, this is why I hate Facebook. Every time I open it up, it's negative. Somebody's dying, or somebody's crying, or somebody's complaining about their baby daddy, or whatever. Or maybe it's just my friends. I don't know. But oversharing on Facebook is really a thing. It's worse
it's been
there
a thing
than
for
it's on,
years.
It's worse on Facebook than Instagram or Snapchat, yeah. in my opinion, or Twitter.
Yeah.
So what is too much oversharing?
It should be called like psych book. It just instead of it just seems like everybody there is so open to talking about all their personal shit,
yeah.
and it bugs the crap out of me, yeah. because I go on there to post a picture of my son
right.
during the soccer game and
yeah.
share with my family that I don't talk to all the time.
Yeah.
I go in there to post about my events. Yeah, I know that I'm that guy too. But,
yeah.
but you know, I want to post about, you know, my Easter picture with my family. And instead I open it up and, you know, I'm here at the hospital with my auntie's mama's grandma's
yeah.
uncles with a picture and the lady's like entubed and like,
yeah,
do you think they'll consent to that?
Yeah.
Are you
that's
kidding
too
me?
Much.
Videos when they're
yeah.
like putting the casket
yeah.
in the ground and I'm like, why are you
Or even the, I hate my spouse, that's why I'm divorcing
yes.
them and now that's it. And I'm like, don't put, like, I get it. Your personal problems are your personal problems, but don't put people on blast. Don't
yeah.
expose people.
You know how
like,
stupid that is? Yeah, because I've seen it where I've had
oh, you've had some friends that,
yes, who were like, oh,
she's
you
the
believe?
One.
Oh, that, yes. And they're like, what are you doing? Or I've seen both. I've seen the one where, like, she caught him, like, cheating.
Yeah.
And he's like, can you believe so-and-so did this? Here are the emails I saw them doing back and forth.
That's
and posting
the worst.
It. No. And then they get back together, and she has to take it back
the
down.
Screenshot.
Idiot. Yeah. Like, yeah. You know what I mean?
The tweet and delete.
Yes. Or it's the other way around. Like, oh, I found the one. And we all have those people
right.
who are putting too fast about how they're in love, and then next thing you know, it doesn't work out.
Well, they have 10 posts about it throughout the year.
Yeah.
Right.
About 10 who were the one.
You know what I mean? But it's just, but then I thought about this when we were talking about, because there's so much oversharing.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, people who just, they're in the moment and just want to post it. It's just like, think about it. Take a second to breathe and think about it. But what I thought about before I had kids, or I only have one kid, but before I had my daughter, how the damn, these people just keep on posting pictures of their kids. Jeez, take it easy, slow down. But now I'm like, dude, I post.
You're that guy, right?
Now I'm like, I post, you know.
Yeah,
like,
she's
I'm
so
always
cute.
So proud to post, you know, my daughter did something. So I'm like, does it matter where you are in life or something? I don't know.
Maybe, because single people probably don't want to look at our kids
exactly.
all the time. But like married, your married friends or your friends that have families are loving it and they're liking it and they're like, give us more of mine.
True.
Yeah.
Or maybe us grown folks, we don't want to see those people who are out in the club all the time singing to lyrics in the club. That's lame as hell.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
but,
it's just
so,
weird.
So that's kind of cool, funny. It can be, you know, you can interpret it in many different ways. But how about the whole thing about, like, the funerals and the hospitals and
that's too much.
Look at my cousin. He just got into a car accident, and look at the car, and look at his knees busted sideways.
Yes, like, that's the first thing
Come
you
on.
Think of is posting it. Like, oh, right now I'm getting jumped. I can't believe this. Look.
Right. Or like what? The guys that robbed Soulja Boy's house, they took one of his phones and they started live streaming it on Instagram.
That's right.
They were
robbing
his
ignorant.
House. Like, that's
just
the
so
millennial stupidity.
Yeah.
So if you guys ever overshared on social media and somebody hit you up and been like, yo, can you take that down?
Never.
Not necessarily over, maybe like my dad would like, cause he doesn't get it. I think I put a funny picture of me like on my, I was on my phone on the toilet and he's like, Bojo, that's not a good representation. Bojo, take that down now. Do you want to get jobs? So I guess that was like TMI.
Right.
I thought it was funny.
Yeah.
It was like TMI. Bojo, are you crazy?
That's funny.
Well, and then, you know, part of it, too, I heard that now some companies, when they try to hire someone, right, they do look at all your social media
totally
stuff.
So there could be some, like, silly stuff, but I haven't done that.
Yeah, but there's a difference between funny, silliness,
over-personal stuff
exactly.
with my family. I'm smart enough to not go that route.
You know, I think I'm pretty good about it, but apparently I'm not because my daughter checked me last night. Now, you know, my daughter's 20. She's a sophomore at UNLV. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Tati. And
damn, you just put her out again.
Well, whatever. It's my kid. I can say whatever I want.
Exactly.
I created her.
Yeah,
what the hell?
Whatever. Yeah.
But anyway, she got on the dean's list, and the certificate came in the mail,
right?
A super proud
Dude,
moment for me
awesome.
As a mom. I'm like, so I take it, and I just put it on Instagram on my story, no big deal. I didn't even tag her, right? And I just put a bunch of hearts, and I put, like, proud mommy
That's
moment.
That's a huge
or whatever, right?
deal.
It's huge.
Yeah.
Huge, especially because I didn't finish college. So, like, I'm living vicariously through
exactly.
my kid.
Exactly.
And I can acknowledge that, right?
Yes.
She hits me up, Mom, why'd you post that? I'm like, because I'm proud. What do you mean? I'm getting all these texts now. People keep hitting me up. I'm like, so you want me to take it down? You need to take it down now. I don't want people to keep texting me. I'm like, so you're mad people are texting you congratulations? She's like, yeah, because that's from last year. And I'm like, I don't care when it's from. It just got mailed to us now.
That's crazy.
Like, I'm
going to
frame it for you. This is a big deal. You should celebrate your accomplishments. She's like, I don't need all these texts. And I'm thinking, who are you mad my mom is texting you? Like, your grandparents are texting you too much congratulations? Like, what's the problem? She's like, I just don't need that on my social media. And I'm thinking, all right, whatever.
Yeah, that's tough.
At least people are just texting her for like, when we were in school, like, my mom would say something, I'd get the call from, like, my aunt. Ay, mijo, que suave, que suave. Like, it would be a call forever.
Oh, like if it was something bad?
No, or good.
Good? Yeah,
both.
Yeah.
And it'd be like, oh, I get, you know, I'm so glad that you're doing this in school.
Yeah.
And stuff. And plus for me, school was tough because my primo hermano, like my first generation cousin, he was my honors English teacher.
Oh, wow.
His wife back then, was was my history teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And then he was my teacher and his friends were my teachers again for math and English in my senior year. So I was screwed. Like, I was always like, hey, your son didn't turn this in. Or, like, I had to be, like, the perfect student because my family members were my teachers.
Right.
Oh, my
but,
God.
But, again, back to what you were saying is that I'm that same dude that's like, You guys see it? Look at my son got a gold medal at this.
Yeah,
look at my
son
got that. Look, he was on.
But what's gonna happen when your son's like, Dad? I don't. I you're embarrassing me.
I will.
That's what is.
I think
crazy.
I will respect that, but maybe I was. I still. It still makes you want to share as a problem.
Yeah. That's the conversation.
It's just how far out do you share?
That's right. The conversation.
I know, I
like,
it, but
are you gonna be like, no, Isaiah? I'm posting this. Sorry, I'm proud, and he might still be pissed. I would. I'm still gonna do it.
Still pissed at me. Yeah. And I don't care.
Well, yeah. That's what I mean.
Sorry. Like, if you were five, I'd post your report card. Why wouldn't I? Like, I post my little one's accomplishments when she's on the honor roll and stuff. I'm proud.
You know what?
As a mom, I don't care if you're an adult. I'm posting your shit.
Let me ask you this, Natalia, because it makes me nervous. Because I feel like sometimes a young generation doesn't want it to be out there that they're doing these kind of good stuff. Do you think it has something to do with, like, hey, it's my business. Not everybody needs to know I'm on the Dean's
like,
list.
Like, cool factor type?
Like, yeah. Is it kind of like that? Or because that would, you know, because sometimes the young generation, their mind is weird like that. Not everybody needs to know I have straight A's.
Well, I think it's a little bit of that.
Because
but I
it's
think
some
it's,
type of, I don't
I
know.
Think it's a lot more of her being annoyed that all her relatives are calling.
Okay.
Because all our relatives lurk on the gram. Like, they might not post, but, like, her grandma, you know, be on there. Like, she posted a picture in her bathing suit on the beach. She's going to kill me that I'm telling this story. So she's at the beach with her friends in California. She posted a picture, and her grandma commented underneath. And her grandma's not on Instagram at all. And she's like, ay, Tatiana, guarda tu cuerpo, and all this stuff.
Oh, man.
And she, means take care of your body, don't put it on the world to see.
God.
And she's at the beach with her friends. So I'm looking at her comments, right? There's like 20 comments, and I'm screaming, dying, laughing that her grandma left a paragraph about her posting a bikini pic on, and it wasn't anything inappropriate. Like, it was just a beach pic, but I was just laughing. Like, the older generation, they don't get it.
That's another conversation because I have family members who comment on my stuff who are older. And sometimes it comes off very inappropriate.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, what?
Like, I don't want to. Putting them on blast. Like, my aunt, shout out to, I don't want to say her. But she's always commented a lot on social media.
Yeah.
And like, oh, that's my sexy hot nephew. I'm like, oh my God, that's crazy.
Damn.
Hot. Like, you know?
Yeah.
Like, emoji.
She's trying to give me love, you know, but it's like.
Because sometimes you know the broken English, like I know for me when they're Latino, the broken English doesn't come across the same way. And like, I know what they mean when I read the comments, but I know somebody else is going to be like, what the hell?
And sometimes, you know, but shout out to like, you know, some of the older people who are still on Facebook who love it, who just got on, who love it. I have a lot of family members like that. And they don't really know how to post that well.
And that's the thing. I think Facebook is more towards like that family, friend.
For sure.
And then Instagram's like for the world, you know, to go, you know, thirst trap and whatever.
Flex. Yeah. Clout, all
that
kind of stuff.
Yeah, clout chasing.
But Facebook is still important because of that family.
Right.
You know,
okay, so let's switch gears real quick. Game of Thrones, the hype is so real. Like, you guys know I'm a Game of Thrones OG. Like,
OG.
I started day one, season one. I've been watching the show for 10 years, trying to get you guys on the Game of Thrones
train. 10 years?
Yeah, because 10 years? Yes, let me tell you why. So we're on season 8 right now, right? Season 7.
2-year hiatus?
Yes. So
two
it's
years?
Literally been like 9 years watching the show.
Yeah.
I started watching the show when I lived in New York back in like 2010. Around there is when it first came out. So, like, I watched it in New York. I watched it in Florida. Now I've been watching it in Vegas the last 5 years. 2-year hiatus. It's finally back. I'm obsessed.
All right, call me Usher.
Okay.
These are my confessions. I thought the show was only, like, 2 or 3 years old.
Oh, no. It's been out.
I've never seen one episode.
Okay.
I just know it probably has something to do with castles, right? Because it's a throne.
Stupid.
Right? Or kings and queens? Yeah.
So there's castles, there's incest.
Yeah, there's a lot.
There's dragons.
I've never had the oomph to say, I'm going to get a subscription to HBO because this show is going to do it for me.
Yeah.
Not once have I ever said, babe, we need to watch this. Or, oh my God. I can't get into it.
The
only show I've done like that was The Walking Dead, and I'm done with them, too, because it's more of a soap opera at this point.
Well, I don't think that Game of Thrones, the hype was that big at first. At first, it had really bad reviews, and, like, the girl that plays Sansa, Sophie Turner, I believe her name is, she was saying she was even suicidal at one point because of all the criticism from Game of Thrones.
Jesus.
So the hype has been building over years, because we started when nobody even cared. We just like medieval shows. Like, we like those, like,
right.
Okay, so here's why I'm somewhere right in the middle.
Okay.
The hype probably came, the strong hype probably came 5-6 years ago.
Yeah.
And so I got it, I got in the, I got involved probably like 2 summers ago, and I was like, all right, let me just try to binge watch it. And I obviously got it, like how people got into it.
Yeah.
But then certain stuff lose me a little bit. I don't like when it gets too fantasy-ish.
Yeah, and it's a lot of storylines to pay attention to. Yes, there's so many characters, that's the thing.
You have to pay attention. I get it, because is there 7 kingdoms?
And there's 7 kingdoms.
They're all very important and stuff.
And they all interact, and somebody's cousin, brother, sister.
But I think what happens is you cling on to the characters that you like. Mm-hmm. I like the little small dude. I like Tyrion.
Yeah,
I like
Tyrion. Those things.
I like the blondie. Is she blonde still?
Who?
The queen of the dragons.
Cersei? No, Khaleesi.
I like Khaleesi.
Yeah, the mother of dragons.
So I went about 4 seasons deep after binge watching.
Yeah.
And then there was a time I think when it got a little bit too fantasy-ish.
Okay.
I don't like that when it gets too. I love the whole real, we gonna kill you. There's a lot of aggressive nature stuff.
Yeah.
Like, wow. I don't like when the dragons got involved and stuff.
Okay.
I don't like
that. Did you get to the Red Wedding yet?
No.
Okay. So.
Okay. Let me tell you kind of where I got to.
Okay.
This is gonna be such a bad explanation. Game of Thrones people are gonna laugh and like, what are you talking about? So it was the one little young king who was a dick.
Okay. Joffrey.
Joffrey, mm-hmm. I think he. Oh,
he isn't gets, he from Coming to America?
No, not Joffrey. Come on, bro. I think he gets
not
killed. Oh man, I'm thinking about. But it's so hard. It's like.
Is he still alive?
No, he's not alive.
Okay, he died. Okay.
He's died. So I've gotten there, and I got there's that one brother who's like him? A slave. Oh, and there's that guy who's worse than Joffrey.
Ramsay.
Yo, he's bad.
Yeah,
he's bad.
How much satisfaction did you get when Joffrey died?
Were you like, yes? Yes, because he was a dick. Sorry, this is weird.
No.
And I'm doing a bad job explaining. And then there was like that one lady who was kind of, she turned old, but she was hot.
Yes,
she was always
Melisandre,
naked.
Melisandre, the redhead.
Yes. She was always naked, and then she turned old.
She birthed the demon.
Yes.
All right, so I have a question for you. Sorry. Someone like me.
These are where I'm at. This is where I got to. Right, but I'm so far out. How far away am I from where it needs
You're
to be?
You're like 2 or 3 seasons away.
Okay,
so now that you guys are in season 8, for someone like myself, I would have to watch it from the beginning.
Correct.
100%.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah, okay. You get a 30-day trial.
How long would that take?
It's 67 episodes. Prior to this season.
Yeah, that's a
lot of
binging.
So 67 hours.
Oh, how many hours?
67.
Damn,
that's
a hell of a vacation.
67 hours. Because we started rewatching it, right, at the beginning of the year to catch up, even though we watched it in real time. And now watching it back, there's so many things that make sense. Like, for example, there's a scene on one of the older episodes. I know I'm such a dork right now. From like season 4 where Cersei goes to see this psychic lady. And then the psychic lady is like, you'll have 3 children.
Who's Cersei again?
The killer, the mean queen, Joffrey's mom. Where the psychic is like, you'll have 3 children with golden hair. And remember, Cersei says she's pregnant now. And when you go back to that episode, you're like, oh no, she ain't have a 4th kid. She only had 3 kids. So like the thing.
So you're explaining this to the listeners. Not we have no idea.
You'll get there. You'll get there. Keep watching.
Who's it? What's the name of the
Frodo from Lord of the Rings?
Stop it. That one brother and sister who hook up.
That's Cersei and Jaime. They're twins.
They're twins.
And they hook up.
Yeah, they have 3 kids. Yeah.
Well, I guess that would be considered almost masturbation.
Masturbation.
It's kind of like you looking at yourself.
You know what? Let's change the subject.
What's going on?
Because you're getting just as weird as the damn
say?
Show. CO1.
What's going on? Masturbation?
Okay. No.
Stop. I have a sister.
Twin?
No. Okay,
oh, it's a twin guy girl?
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh, you thought it was the same sex.
Yeah.
How do they have a kid together? Stop.
So
in my mic, in my
you
mic.
You said it's like fantasy
if you
stuff.
Watch, if you watch Game of Thrones, you know what's up.
Okay,
let's move on.
What else we got?
Okay.
When I hear the word twins, I expect usually the same
you
sex, right?
No, this is not Pornhub, sir. Like,
what?
Okay.
Let's talk about
hip-hop history.
Oh.
Take it away, CL1.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
My God.
I got to breathe real quick.
B-52s came out with a song, I Touched Myself, today,
right?
28 years ago.
Sweet. Ooh, so, oh, my.
All right.
Is that B-52s, by the way?
No.
I don't even know. I touched myself.
Delilah or something. I forgot her name.
Shout out to
B-52s. So speaking about hip-hop history, there's actually a lot has happened in the last week or so.
Okay, plus. Cool.
I will kick off with this. It was Selena's birthday, right?
Yep, Monday.
Yeah. So,
48 she would have been.
Yeah, I went to a Selena tribute. And by the way, do you say Selena or do you say Selena?
Selena. Either one.
Okay. I think it depends whether you're like English or
Spanish.
At the tribute, you went to what I was saying.
Selena.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So it was a tribute at the House of Blues. Shout out to them. So my wife got these tickets and she's like, hey, you know, we're going to go. And I'm thinking, that's a tribute band. We're just going to kind of hang out. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Man, I couldn't even walk in that place.
It was popping.
You know, my fellow Hispanics, Latinos, man, when they dance,
yeah.
It's not, you know, when they say cut the rug, they literally, like, they're going crazy. So I'm, you know, these people are bumping into me. And then I finally got into it after two drinks, and I started kind of moving and shaking my hips myself. Oh, I started feeling it.
Was
it a
one-night only thing?
Yeah.
Oh, so it was really good.
The band sounds great, though.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, the chick doesn't look too much like Selena, but she dresses up like her and has the hair, you know, the big hair and
stuff. Sound like her?
Yeah.
Sounds really, really good.
That's awesome.
So that was a totally fun event, especially because, you know, when people think about Selena, I think, you know, some people don't understand that she was more like Tex-Mex.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Tejano.
Tejano type music, not like Mexican cumbia, salsa, like that type of stuff.
Damn, I don't know what that, what does Tex-Mex mean, though?
Well, it's all like genre.
In Texas, obviously.
Yeah, it's like origin in Texas, but it's more, it's... I forget, it's like the Tornado something. There's like some big groups that are considered Tex-Mex.
But the sound is...
But it's not like Mexican, like Sonora Dinamita or like these big Mexican groups or, you know. Anyhow, we good, Bojo.
We good.
So along with that, Illmatic, 25 years?
Yeah,
nice.
That's crazy. I was listening to it this morning when I was getting ready. Because I saw it on Instagram. Like, I don't know. I checked my timeline when I woke up. I saw it was 25. And I was like, oh. So I woke up. And then I put it on Spotify. And the first song that came up is Whose World Is This? And I was like, I'm inspired. It's Friday. The world is mine. And then, like, I'm getting all those memories are coming back from when Nas came out, when the album dropped.
Illmatic is probably one of my favorites.
Top five. Maybe. So, I think it's top five.
I think that might be my favorite hip hop album of all time. Yeah.
But Nas is so dope. Even to this day.
It was really good.
Because we were around the same age, right?
Yeah.
Like, Nas is a few years older than us. So I related at the time because we were kids. Nas came out when he was 19. And I want to say we were listening to it at like 16. I could really relate to a lot of the stuff that he was talking about at that time on that album.
Well, that's a great conversation, your favorite. We'll have to do that one time.
Yeah.
Because I might say The Chronic.
Yeah. Well, hell yeah, being on the West Coast for sure. Yeah.
Well, I remember The Chronic just because it's when you and I were probably in high school.
Yep.
And remember, I was telling you this. It's the one first I was so proud because we would listen to it in our Walkmans. I would listen to it on the way home. Or on the way to school, I'm sorry.
Yeah, we'll do that one
and
day.
And it's the first time that I really, truly learned like some verses.
Yeah.
Like Snoop's, you know, capital S, so you're some fresh and double P, DLWG, you see, like, stuff like that you, like, I mean, I learned that in 93 or whatever it was.
Yep,
it's 2019, and here I am, but Illmatic.
Illmatic was pretty dope.
DJ Premier, Q-Tip was sampled on there, all those beats. I mean, that is one of those albums that I know all the lyrics. Like, I was getting ready this morning, rapping along to all the songs, and it felt so good because I had some flow, because I don't know nothing about these lyrics.
See what I mean, though? That's what I'm talking about.
I felt good. I had my lyrics. I was like...
The dope thing is, too, it's just universally known as, like, probably one of the greatest hip-hop albums of all time. Did you guys ever see the thing he did, Nas did? He got with... like the New York Philharmonic.
Yes, like the orchestra.
That
dope. Was dope. Yeah. More people, we should post that on the radio station's website.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't know about
find
that.
Find that video, for sure.
And for people who don't know, you know, him and Khalees were a thing.
Yeah.
And then she came out with... how much I hate? No, I hate you. I hate you so much right now.
That was before she got with Nas.
Oh, was it?
The
whole production with
Pharrell. Yeah, that was with Pharrell. Okay. That's when she was Pharrell. That song I think was more towards Pharrell. She got with Nas way after that.
Okay.
Because her and Pharrell were a thing when she first came out.
So let's keep it with classics.
Yeah.
Cypress Hill, the first Latino hip hop group to ever receive a Hollywood.
Yeah, that's
shout out to Cypress Hill.
After 30 years in the game, I mean, it's about damn time.
And if we are the only station in this town to play Cypress Hill on the regular all the time.
Yes.
And they are very obviously, I mean, they're just as iconic, I want to say. They've established themselves in so many different ways, mm-hmm. not just being Latino hip hop, but just their albums all the way from.
Yeah. What's your favorite Cypress Hill song?
I think it's. I want to say maybe "Insane in the Man," "Insane in the Brain," but.
If I could just kill a man.
Well, see, I don't want to say that, but
right. Here is something you can't understand.
Well, that's, if I could just kill a man. That's literally what I was listening to, but I also like, when the shit goes down, you better be ready.
Wow. When the shit goes down. Yeah, they got some good stuff,
they
man.
They represented for all Latinos, too, because in the group, they're Puerto Rican, Cuban, and Mexican.
Yes,
so that's
exactly.
Pretty cool.
Wow.
They cover all the, you know,
that's dope.
A lot of Latino
But, you know, and
right
B. Real himself became such a big dude. I mean, Sandok, they're all huge.
Yeah.
But they've all established themselves, even like on YouTube, they've got their channel, and it's viewed at such high numbers all the time.
He's got his own
time.
TV channel.
Yeah, B-Real
TV. Yeah.
So, shout out to them, man, and they absolutely deserve it.
Yep. Yeah. Shout out to Cypress Hill.
Now, before, I'm pretty much done with this part of it, but I do want to say that, speaking of classic hip-hop, and we usually do our shout-outs, but this next upcoming Thursday, I'll be doing Snapback. Snapback is it's like a party that they do in L.A. and Las Vegas as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's all like classic hip-hop, so they just booked me up to go drop a classic hip-hop set.
Where?
So it's at Commonwealth Thursday.
Nice. Thursday, what date?
This upcoming Thursday, from whenever you're listening, April 25th.
Got you going to go do any stuff out there? I got a homie who's...
Not in L.A. Okay. I'm doing the Snapback LV.
Nice.
But over there, they do like Icy Ice and all these big...
Yeah. I'm familiar because I got homies real tight.
That's dope. So shout out to them. Yeah.
Okay. And Easter this weekend, any plans or Easter traditions that you guys do with your family?
Well, I don't know. I was thinking about it because at my house that we just started last night, two nights ago, they were painting the eggs and stuff like that. And I realized that I didn't know how to do any of that stuff.
Did you not do it in school?
A little bit in school, but I mean, you know, it's been years. And I just realized, like, my household was not about Easter bunnies.
Yeah, it was more church.
It was all church, you know what I mean? And so my wife, you know, brought the aspect of the Easter bunny and the eggs and stuff. And I had to ask all kind of questions.
Yeah.
Because... Shout out to the Reflection Bay in Lake Las Vegas. First annual Great Easter Egg Hunt. And our Easter Egg Hunt there wasn't really a hunt. It wasn't like, because I thought maybe the eggs were supposed to be hidden, right?
Right. Yeah. I mean, traditionally they are.
They are, right?
Yeah, but we wanted to be easy for the kids.
The kids. So we didn't display that because we were being easy for the kids. So I was trying to remember how it actually goes down again.
Well, you hide the eggs throughout your house. You dye the eggs, you color them.
I thought it was outside.
You could do either or.
It depends. Like, in my household, we would do them mostly outside because a lot of them, like, you would go find them and, you know, they'd have, you know, whatever. Confetti, candy, or money.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. So, like, you'd put, like, let's say three eggs with $20 bills or something. Like that. And then the others would have confetti, the others would have candy, but
if you got confetti, you got punked.
Well, no, you got confetti. You get to use it on whoever you want to smack it in their head.
Because then you smash it on their head.
Yeah,
that's a Latino.
That's like a Latino
thing.
Oh, my God. Yeah, this is new to me.
You can sell them at the store. You can go to, like, Target, and you buy a carton of eggs.
They're
and they
pre-filled.
All fill with and you just smash them on each other's head. It's such a mess to pick up, though. Don't do it inside. Do it outside.
Do it if you're prepared to put in the work afterwards to clean it up. Because that's what we usually do at my brother's house.
Because
at the end of the night, we bounce and he cleans.
Yeah,
I will say, though, the holidays are getting complicated. My daughter's 8, and she asked us yesterday if we started shopping for Easter yet. So Sean and I look at each other and go, shopping?
Knows.
I go, it's not Christmas. I'm like, what do you mean? The Easter Bunny brings you a basket.
Oh.
She goes, well, how come only the Easter Bunny brings me a basket and you and Daddy never buy me anything?
Dang.
And we're like, because we helped the Easter Bunny pick it up. She's like, but the Easter Bunny doesn't even call you. He doesn't have your phone number.
Oh.
And we're like, well, we Venmo him the money
she's
to buy
smart.
Your basket. And she's like, well, I want 2 baskets this year. And we're like, are you kidding me?
We're looking at each other like,
like, it's not Christmas.
Our generation.
She getting 1 basket. I'm sorry. And she might have to find out the truth this year.
I hope young kids.
My wallet can't afford it.
I hope young kids don't listen to this podcast. Because kids, the Easter Bunny don't live. Santa Claus don't exist.
Damn, why you got
the boogeyman? There's a lot of boogeymen.
You need to do this.
I know.
Yeah, in my household, it was just about, it was the day Jesus was risen. That's all. That was it, pretty much.
She went to church like all day, right?
Yes. So many services.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, so this might be something we talk about later. At what point do you break the news that someone or something like that doesn't exist?
Yeah.
I tell you this, though.
You're gonna
my son, I've already explained a lot of stuff to him.
Mm-hmm.
But I gotta admit, I still tell him that the Tooth Fairy exists.
He doesn't believe you.
Yeah, he, well,
wait, why?
Believes me or not.
Is he losing teeth? Enough to take that money?
He puts his, he puts his tooth to take that teeth? Money. Yeah, man, he's 10.
How
yeah.
late do they lose teeth till?
So they're like 12, 13.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah.
See, I'm learning. Oh, get used to it, man, because you're going to be going to the dentist a lot with your daughter.
Yeah.
And she'll be
so
losing
they
teeth.
Lose teeth.
Wait till you get
when do they start losing them? What years?
Like 5.
And it'll go all the way to like 11, 12.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So wait till you get your first experience pulling your daughter's first tooth.
That's the worst.
It's tough.
Yeah.
They're just
and
in
it,
pain.
It's not even painful, and it's the easiest thing to do.
It's just weird.
It's like a tug.
Yeah.
But when you see your kid in agony, they're like,
yeah.
It hurts. And all you do is go. So my first tooth, I grabbed my son's tooth and I pulled it and I go.
You pulled it with your finger?
I pulled it. I go, I don't see it. He goes, it's loose. I go. It's right here in my
head. Right. Like, they'll be crying and the tooth will be out.
Yeah.
Because they're just playing with it with their tongue the whole time, too.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's just, it's mind over matter. So.
Yeah. Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah, she getting one basket.
But good luck with that.
Yeah. We doing a boozy brunch at my house. So I invite my daughter over and she brings her college friends. Because a lot of them are from, you know, like one of her friends from Arizona, another one's from California. So they don't get to go home for holidays. Mm-hmm. So then I tell her, just bring them over. And they don't drink, but like we do. And, you know, we have brunch and we do an Easter egg hunt. And they color Easter eggs. College kids, they love it though. Like, it's cheesy.
So you've been doing this?
Yeah, we did it last year too. Cool. Like, her friends came over and they colored Easter eggs.
That's cool.
And helped do the hunt. And then we punked them. And we did an Easter egg hunt and told them there was money in the eggs, but we put like little carrots and little broccoli in all the eggs and only put like 2 of the eggs with cash. So yeah, we have fun with them.
Yeah, for me, it's like we're starting the traditions now.
Yeah.
You know, because for years without a kid
and
away from home, it was just like barbecues with the homies.
Yeah.
We go to church.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, hey, we got to go to church. I got to go to church this time. There's going to be a time of going to church.
Yeah.
She go out, at least on Easter.
Right.
And then, like, we barbecue with the homies. But now that my daughter's 2 and a half, this is when the traditions are going to start. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we have other friends now that have children, too. So it's going to be, you know, it'll probably still be church.
Yeah.
And then linking up with the homies and their kids and stuff
like
that.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, that's what's up, guys. Well, good job, everybody. Any shout-outs before we wrap up?
You know, I want to shout out once again Brooklyn Bowl. I will be there for 80s night. Shout out to Snapback. And I think that's it
for
right
now.
Yeah.
Big shout out to Vegas Golden Knights. We're coming back home. We're up 3-2. Hoping to take out the San Jose Sharks. And shout out to Golden Knights, all the Golden Knights fans. Shout out to the Lights, Las Vegas Lights FC, the soccer team out here. They got a game May 4th. We'll probably have our next episode. Right before that game. Shout out to Lake Las Vegas.
Yeah.
You know, they held it down for us for the very first annual great Easter egg hunt. Any other shout outs?
You got any events or any games coming up with the Lights?
No, not till May 4th.
Okay.
So we have some time. So right before the Cinco de Mayo weekend. And actually, that's going to be that whole. Are you a Star Wars nerd? That's May the 4th.
Nah.
Okay.
I like it, but
you have some nerdy tendencies, so I don't know.
I do.
So May 4th be with you. It's going to be that Lights game. So other than that, man, tomorrow, you guys have any 420 stuff going on?
Yes, as a matter of fact, but it has nothing to do with 420. It just happens to be on 420.
Okay.
I'm going to be hosting the Glow Walk for the Nevada Organ Donor Network.
Okay.
So it's something really cool, encouraging people to get signed up to be an organ donor. I don't know if you guys are signed up. You could do it at the DMV or through your Apple Health app and be an organ donor. It's really important because one person that donates organs can save up to like 10 lives, something like that. So it's really important to me, and it's a cause, and I'm going to emcee their walk tomorrow.
And you guys have the green shirts on.
Yes.
Yes, we're all going to be a part of Earth Day today.
Yes.
Where we got?
Downtown Summerlin. Green Fest.
Yeah.
It's all about Earth Day and helping Mother Earth. Their Green Fest is on 420, but it has nothing to do with 420.
No.
Yeah. It's all about the Earth.
I'm sure there'll be grass there, though.
Yeah. There it is, guys. In the books. Episode 9 in the books.
Yeah.
Well done, guys. We'll see you on the next one.